Another data breach. This time, an entire country may have been affected. And what's behind the huge spike in commodity prices?
When you rack up the numbers, you very quickly run out of cobalt.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. If you thought the Equifax breach was bad, today Malaysian authorities are investigating a leak of data from more than 46 million mobile subscribers. That's more than the population of the entire country. The BBC's Lisha Santarelli has more from Singapore.
Malaysia has a population of about 32 million people, so that means that the whole country may have actually been affected by this breach, as well as foreigners or tourists who may have come into the country and gotten prepaid or postpaid cards. But it wasn't just the major telcos in Malaysia that saw the data compromised. We saw several public websites hit. This includes the Malaysian Medical Association as well as the Dental Group. And this data breach was first discovered by a local Malaysian technology website. It said it discovered that someone was trying to sell this personal data online for an undisclosed amount of Bitcoin, the digital currency. So they've reported this, and Malaysian regulators are now investigating the case.
Lisha Santarelli in Singapore. Let's do the numbers. Shares of Sony hit a 9-year high after it posted better than expected earnings. Stocks in Asia closed higher, with Japan's Nikkei up 408 points or 1.86%. European markets are all higher, led by Germany's DAX, which is up 1.3%. And Bitcoin hit a fresh record, going above $6,400. The cryptocurrency soared after the CME Group, the world's biggest exchange group, said Bitcoin could join oil and gold in futures trading on the exchange. Now, speaking of commodities, prices of industrial metals like aluminum, lead, zinc and copper have been soaring this year. Zinc, used to galvanize steel for the auto industry, climbed to the highest in a decade this month, and lead has risen to its strongest level since 2011. Julian Kettle, vice chairman of metals at Wood Mackenzie, told me why prices have gone so high.
The rise in prices really started during the second quarter of 2016, and it was prompted by the stimulus program that the Chinese government put in place to prevent collapse, as it were. On top of that, we had a lot of supply constraint, either forced by the Chinese government, so that the new crackdown on the environment, but also we've had, depending on which commodity you're talking about, strike action, which has constrained supply across certain commodities, and also decisions by miners to keep metal in the ground.
What about the more unusual metals like cobalt, for example?
The noise around cobalt really relates to electric vehicles. Most of the battery technologies in electric vehicles contain cobalt. They may be relatively small amounts per cell, but of course you have a large number of cells in the battery pack. And when you rack up the numbers and you start looking at the number of EVs that are projected to be produced and on the roads by 2020 or 2025, you very quickly run out of cobalt.
The World Bank is saying that prices are going to level off next year. Do you share that analysis? And will consumers see the impact of prices going up and down?
It isn't the case that it's always passed on to the consumer immediately. So we're likely to see the effect of rising prices more towards the back end of 2018 and into 2019.
Julian Kettle. We'll be looking at commodities for the rest of the week, so tune in tomorrow for more. Now, imagine floating in a turquoise geothermal pool under an open sky, surrounded by snow-covered black volcanic rock. Almost every visitor to Iceland goes to the Blue Lagoon, a spa in a lava field. The BBC's Edwin Lane went there too, but only to find out how locals are coping with a record 1.7 million tourists.
It's a grey, overcast and quite blustery day here in Iceland, but that hasn't put off the hordes of tourists here at one of Iceland's premier tourist sites. I'm at the Blue Lagoon, and it's a big pool of blue geothermal heated water. And it's places like these where you can really see the huge increase in tourism that Iceland has been seeing in the last 5 years.
Our first operating year in 1994, we had about 50,000 guests. And this year we will be welcoming to Blue Lagoon 1.3 million.
Grímur Simonsson is the chief executive of the Blue Lagoon.
It has been a big challenge, both for our company and for Iceland as a whole. The growth needs to be handled. You cannot have such a huge growth year on year without trying to control it.
In the capital, Reykjavik, cranes hover over the building sites of brand new hotels. Tourism has brought nearly full employment. Not everybody is happy with the impact it's having on such a small country.
Five guys up on this balcony drinking for four or five.
And then they are here out on the balcony and they cannot understand when I shout, "Hey, I live here, please."
Benoni Igerson and his wife have lived in the heart of downtown Reykjavik since the late 70s.
Speculators have come here and bought up apartments and stores. In the old times, it was very fashionable for young people to come and live here. But the price is getting so high that the young people can't afford it anymore.
This bit here, this is the...
So how much tourism is too much? A question for the woman in charge of promoting Iceland as a tourist destination.
Inga Hlín Pálsdóttir, I'm the director of Visit Iceland. I mean, if you would say 5 million people coming to Iceland in 5 years, and you would tell me that they would all be coming to Reykjavik, I would really worry. But at this point, I don't think we have an overflow. And if you talk to someone just outside of Reykjavik, they're all complaining that they want more travellers to come and visit them.
In Reykjavik, I'm the BBC's Edwin Lane for Marketplace.
Finally, Sony has resurrected its robot dog. Aibo was discontinued in 2006, but it'll be back on the shelves in the new year with a price tag of just $1,700. Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.